Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
If you look closely at the Bible, you'll see that there's a division. And here's what I mean. There's obviously good and evil, sin and purity, heaven and hell, angels and demons. But on a deeper level, you learn that there's sound biblical doctrine, which is the authentic gospel of Jesus Christ. And on the opposite scale, there are also doctrines of demons. There are doctrines out there that mislead people by tickling their ears instead of convicting their hearts. Furthermore, the Bible makes it clear that in the last days, there is an increase in all manner of evil. However, on the opposite scale of things, there is an increase in good. And here's what I mean. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, "But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days." And if you read Acts 2, verse 17, the Bible tells us that, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." So you see, from these two verses, we are told in the last days, terrible times will come. But God has said he will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. This tells me that although you will see an increase in evil and demonic activity, you'll also see an increase in the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. Although the world will see an increase in deception and lies, you'll also see the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of many to reveal Jesus Christ. And even though there will be great apostasy in the last days, God has said that he will pour out his Spirit. And I believe that you will see more and more people come to Christ. Although agents of evil will be in operation, God's angels will also be working. For a moment, if you cast your mind back to the days of Noah, we know that the world was full of sin and wickedness. But God chose Noah to build the ark in preparation for the judgment that would come on earth. 2 Peter 2, verse 5 says, "And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly." Noah is mentioned here as a preacher of righteousness. And so imagine that in the years that led up to the flood, Noah was preaching to people. I can see Noah calling to all people to repent and turn to God. I can imagine that some people laughed at Noah. They mocked him, scoffed at him. They saw him building the ark and probably thought he was a madman. Warning after warning, I can imagine a multitude of people rejecting the preaching of Noah. But in the end, it started to rain, and the great flood became a reality. Now, in life, you tend to come across two types of people: those who make your life easier, and those who make your life harder. Those who have money, and those who don't. But the truth is, there's only one grouping that matters. That is, those who do not know Jesus and those who do. In the last days, you're either one who loves yourself or the Lord. The group of people who love themselves can be found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. It says, "By understanding this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people." The first thing we see about those in the first group is that they are lovers of self.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Love of self and pride are closely associated. Do you remember that when Lucifer was in heaven, he said this in Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 14. "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." So you see, Lucifer only thought about himself. He wanted to be praised. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted everything to be about him. How many of us take biblical warnings seriously? Now, the Apostle Paul is a fascinating character in the Bible. Before he was Paul the Apostle, he was known as Saul from Tarsus. He was originally a Pharisee and a persecutor of early Christians. Saul was a zealous Pharisee who was determined to stamp out what he saw as a dangerous heresy that was spreading in the Jewish community. This Saul would go door to door and beat Christians. And it's believed that he also killed them. In the book of Acts, the first person to die for following Jesus was a man named Stephen. Stephen gave a speech about Jesus and called everyone to repent and trust in Jesus. At the end of the speech, Stephen is stoned to death. It says of Saul in Acts 8, verse 1, "And Saul approved of his execution." At the least, Saul approved and was happy with the execution. At the most, he set up the execution. Saul killed followers of Jesus. But despite all of this, Saul had a dramatic conversion experience on the road to Damascus, where he saw a vision of Jesus. And after this experience, the one persecutor of Christians became a Christian himself. Now, let me ask you, was Paul so bad that God couldn't use him? Of course not. Paul was transformed when he encountered Christ. And when Paul did encounter Christ, he wrote many books in the New Testament. And there's one passage of Scripture where he gives us six cautionary warnings regarding how we live our lives. These six warnings are: don't participate in the darkness of wild parties. Don't be involved in drunkenness. Have nothing to do with sexual promiscuity. Do not live immorally. Do not be found quarreling. And the last point is not to be jealous. Now, these six points can be found in Romans 13, verse 13, where the Bible says, "Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy." When Paul says, "Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness," the imagery here is powerful. Imagine a person stumbling around in the dark, unable to see clearly. In the same way, engaging in wild parties and drunkenness clouds our judgment and leads us into spiritual darkness. Just as a lighthouse warns ships of dangerous rocks, the Bible cautions us about the perils of indulging in activities that dull our spiritual senses. The next couple of points are to do with guarding against sexual promiscuity and immoral living. Continuing in Romans 13, verse 13b, Paul urges us not to participate in sexual promiscuity and immoral living. The combination of sexual promiscuity and immoral living are like a thick fog that obscures our vision of God's plan for our lives. Such behaviors breed an ungodly attitude, ungodly habits, and eventually, it becomes a lifestyle. This is why it's incredibly important to be rooted in God's Word. Much like a compass points true north, the Bible provides a moral compass that, when followed, guides us away from the fog of immorality. In Romans 13, verse 14, Paul provides us with a solution as he writes, "Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." Clothing ourselves with Christ is like putting on a suit of armor. It protects us from the arrows of temptation and shields us from the allure of worldly desires. Just as a soldier prepares for battle by putting on armor, we prepare for the spiritual battles of life by clothing ourselves with the character and teachings of Christ. As we navigate the challenges of our time, let us heed these warnings, guarding against the pitfalls that lead to spiritual darkness. Now, I would like for us to further explore warnings from Paul the Apostle, and one of his most serious warnings to Christians is related to unbelief.
Hebrews 3, verse 12 says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." This is a serious warning because Paul is telling us that we need to see to it that none of us have a wicked and unbelieving heart. A heart which refuses to trust and rely on the Lord. A heart that turns away from the living God. And let me show you just why unbelief is so crippling to a Christian. In Matthew 13, when Jesus was coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in the synagogue, and verse 58 says, "Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Think about that. Jesus didn't do any miracles because of unbelief. Jesus didn't perform any mighty works because of unbelief. And so, my friends, you see why Paul warns us against having an unbelieving heart. When you have a heart filled with unbelief, you deny God's power. You deny God's glory. You deny the Lord of all that He is. So be warned, people of God. See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Now for this next warning, I have to give you a little bit of context before I go on any further. The children of Israel were led out of captivity and slavery. They saw incredible miracles from God. They saw the Red Sea was parted. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. They were fed by manna from heaven. But despite seeing God's strong hand, the children of Israel rebelled, murmured, and complained against God. And so Paul in the New Testament warns us in Hebrews 3, verse 15 to 17, as has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? The warning here is that we should not harden our hearts. Don't be cold and insensitive to the voice of God. In the midst of all the chaos and confusion of this world, the voice of God is still calling out to us. The Spirit of the Lord is knocking on our hearts. A hardened heart means that someone is blind. It means insensitivity towards God's beauty and glory. It means chasing after our own desires instead of the things of God. But thankfully, in His mercy, God has offered to change our hearts. God can change our hearts. The third warning I believe we should be aware of can be found in Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Now, I believe that the Amplified translation explains this verse further as it says, for this reason, that is, because of God's final revelation in His Son Jesus and because of Jesus' superiority to the angels, we must pay much closer attention than ever to the things that we have heard, so that we do not, in a way, drift away from truth. In essence, what the Bible is telling us here is that we should be careful not to drift away from the truth that is Jesus Christ. We should be careful not to slip away from the truth of the gospel. Because in this world, you will encounter people who give you their own watered-down version of the gospel. People who will preach a gospel that will require no repentance, no commitment, no denying of self, but instead a gospel that tickles the ears. It sounds good, makes you feel good, but has no power to transform you or challenge you. This is what we should be careful about. Let's not drift away from the truth of the gospel. The real gospel of Jesus Christ will challenge and convict you. It will lead to a change in your sinful habits and cause you to repent. And we should do just that, saints. We should repent and turn away from sin.
The Bible says in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 17, beware of the false prophets, teachers who come to you dressed as sheep, appearing gentle and innocent, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them, that is, by their contrived doctrine and self-focus. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the unhealthy tree bears bad fruit. As believers, We need to know the Word of God for ourselves. We need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because there are many people out in the world who stand and appear to be people of God, when in fact, if you listen closely, if you pray for discernment, you will find them to be wolves in sheep's clothing. And this is why it's crucial for us to take time to educate ourselves. We have to take time to get to know the Word of God for ourselves. Now, saints, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, it calls us to repentance. But what's happening is that some who call themselves preachers are really sugarcoating the gospel. And the gospel that they preach, it tells you that you're forgiven, but it does not call you to repent. It calls you loved, and it talks about God's mercy, and all that is true, but it does not correct you. It doesn't tell you to carry your cross. It doesn't tell you to crucify your flesh. And this is the very reason that we have to be careful. We cannot just listen to anyone and everyone. We cannot just open up our spirits to receive any doctrine that's out there. You see, the real gospel of Jesus Christ, it will challenge you. The real gospel of Jesus Christ, oh, it will convict you. It will lead you to a change in your sinful habits, and it will cause you to desire to repent. You see, the gospel does not teach you that you are forgiven, but you can keep living the way that you were. That would be cheap grace. Real grace? Real grace teaches us to turn away from sin. It teaches us that we must sacrifice. It reminds us to be humble. It instructs us to love others as we love ourselves. The real gospel, it teaches us that life often gets hard after we begin following Jesus. But despite the many afflictions of the righteous, the Lord delivers out of them all. You see, one of the reasons that people often preach the sugar-coated gospel is because they're worried that the real gospel will offend people. They're worried that if they tell people that they need to repent, they'll lose their congregation or maybe get bad publicity. So instead, they settle for feel-good messages only. They settle for a gospel that tickles the ears. But listen, saints, we ought to seek out the real servants of God, the real teachers of the Word of God, because it's the true gospel that changes the heart of the hearer. It's the true gospel that can pierce any hardened heart, and it calls people to obedience and to repentance.
If there is one thing that I've learned from various life experiences, it's the fact that not every friend really is a friend. A smiling face doesn't always mean pure intentions. Open arms don't always mean that you're welcome. And you only have to look in the Bible to find that not everyone can be trusted. Judas ate with Jesus. He sat under the teachings of Jesus. He was there when the miracles happened. He was part of the inner circle, but he betrayed our Lord. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. He grew up with them. At one stage, they played together, ate together. They were blood, but they betrayed him. David said this about someone close to him in Psalm 55, verse 12 to 14. It is not an enemy who taunts me. I could bear that. It is not my foes who so arrogantly insult me. I could have hidden from them. Instead, it is you, my equal, my companion, and close friend. What good fellowship we once enjoyed as we walked together to the house of God. We are called to love our neighbor, and rightly so. We should love our neighbor. I also believe that you should love with wisdom. And what I mean by that is that There are those who you can and should love at a close proximity, and then there are those who you should love from a distance because getting too close to them can lead to your distraction. In fact, I have found that broken people love to break other people. Bitter people have a tendency of attempting to make other people bitter. The Bible in Hebrews 12, verse 15 says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." One translation says, "Watch out that no bitterness takes root among you, for as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives." The Bible here is clearly telling us that when bitterness takes root in a person, that root of bitterness grows and bears fruit. Now, perhaps you have been hurt by someone close to you. Maybe it was deliberate. Maybe there was malicious intent behind that person's actions, and you've never received an apology. Do not, I repeat, do not let that hurt take root in your heart and become bitterness. Perhaps something unfortunate has happened to you. Maybe an action was taken against you that was unfair. I urge you not to let that hurt take root in your heart and become bitterness. Whatever it is that may have happened to you or against you, be quick to let go. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to move on. Don't give an opportunity for bitterness to grow in your heart. Don't give an opportunity for the devil to work in your life. The reason that bitterness is destructive is because it doesn't just affect the person who is bitter, but it affects everyone they come into contact with. A bitter person hurts people because they feel as though the world deserves to be hurt because of what they went through. But on the opposite scale, when you see someone who has the genuine love of God in their heart, you see someone who welcomes anyone, regardless of what they have done, what they look like, or who they are. The love of God causes you to lead others to Christ. The love of God in your heart leads you to have a burden for unbelievers. So let me tell you this. As born-again believers, we are to love others because Jesus Christ first loved us even while we were still sinners. We are to forgive because we are forgiven. The Amplified Translation for Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 to 33 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault-finding, and slander be put away from you, along with every kind of malice, all spitefulness, verbal abuse, malevolence. Be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you." I find it interesting that in this passage of Scripture, of all the things we are told to put away with, bitterness is the first thing to be listed. I believe this to be the case because it is a complex and multi-layered emotion. It's hard to be bitter and not be angry. It's hard to be bitter and not have any resentment. It's hard to be bitter and not be spiteful or obsessed with finding fault in anything and everything. This is why the Bible tells us to put this emotion away from us. Do away with bitterness, people of God. Jesus Christ has loved us, even as we are. He has forgiven us, despite the many, many times we have fallen into sin. Jesus Christ has and still does show us kindness and mercy and compassion. And in His Word, He has given us the commandment to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And let me tell you, it's in your best interest to forgive and move on. To forgive and let go, because Matthew chapter 6, verse 15 says, "But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Bitterness and unforgiveness are inseparable emotions. You can't be bitter about something you've forgiven and let go of. So I encourage each and every one of you listening right now, learn to forgive quickly and strive to imitate Jesus Christ. Let's be people who are full of the love of God in our hearts. Let's do away with arguments and divisions, and let's be kind and helpful to one another. Let's encourage each other in the faith. Let's be tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, and willing to advance the kingdom of God over our own self-interests.
There's a popular saying regarding success: show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. And one quote I like reads, "Friends should be like books, few, but hand-selected." Now, the Bible also weighs in on this topic of friendship. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 2 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." We all get to choose who we let into our lives. We can surround ourselves with like-minded people, with people who will build us up and encourage us to dwell richly in Christ. Or we can linger in the company of people who will lead us astray, people who will take us far away from God's perfect will for our lives. The choice we make when it comes to the company we keep, it can have serious consequences, not just in the short term, but in light of eternity. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness?" This passage is often applied to the context of dating or marriage, but it applies in a general sense to friendships as well. We as believers should be more careful about who we let into our inner circle. That doesn't mean we can't have friendships with unbelievers, but we shouldn't allow ourselves to be yoked, to be tied, to be bound by them. We can't allow them to hold us back from following the Lord. Because while we might share certain hobbies or interests or life situations, at the end of the day, if we do not share the most important part of us, our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ, then that's a relationship that we don't need to maintain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." No matter how good of a Christian you think you are, no one is 100% safe from the influence of evil. If we're not careful, we can allow ungodly people to hinder our own walk with Christ. As humans, we are social creatures. We tend to imitate each other's behavior and attitudes. The more time we spend with certain people, the more like them we become. That's why the Bible warns us regarding the company we keep. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Today, there might not be anyone in your life that you would identify as a fool. But can you identify anyone who constantly attracts trouble and often brings you into it? You know, the devil can plant people in our lives who may seem genuine at first, but are actually harmful to our relationship with God. These people might end up discouraging us, betraying us, or even destroying us. However, when we surround ourselves with fellow Bible-believing, Bible-practicing, Christ-loving people, then our interactions become seasoned with grace and tenderness. We become better equipped to face the struggles of life when we know that we have a support system that stands with us, that prays with us, that intercedes for us, and that believes with us.
Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2 say, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." You are blessed when you don't sit and entertain scoffers. Don't sit with them or break bread with them. Of course, do your Christian duty, which is to love all people and share the gospel of Christ, but do not sit or get into a state of being relaxed when you are around a scoffer. They will pull you down. The dangerous thing about a scoffer is that their sole aim is to make you doubt. They plant seeds of doubt. That's their mission. It's simply to spread doubt. They want you to question everything about the Lord. They want you to question 1 Thessalonians 4:17, which says, "Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord." They want you to question Revelation 3:10. "Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world, to try those who dwell on the earth." They want you to question the word of God, but we should resist such a person. Protect your faith. Protect yourself by not exposing yourself to people who purposely come to trip you up. Instead, focus on living a life that is pure and pleasing to Jesus. Focus on doing all you can to put this flesh under subjection. In fact, the Bible tells us how to prepare for the coming of the Lord in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. "Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him. We, as children of God, should be found spotless and blameless, in peace, that is, inwardly calm with a sense of spiritual well-being and confidence, having lived a life of obedience to him."
We're all comforted by the thought of God being eternally loving, which he is. We get that lovely, warm feeling inside when we read of God being our mighty protector, our shield and defense. He certainly is all of the above. We love the fact that God is forever merciful. He is kind and gracious. However, allow me to say this sternly. God is not to be mocked. Oftentimes, we can deliberately sin. We can deliberately disobey, all because we think that the nature of God, his kind nature, we think that his nature will overlook our wrongs. However, this is not the case. God hates sin. The Bible in Psalm 5, verse 4 says, "For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you." He is a God who doesn't delight in sin. He takes no pleasure from it. That's why the wages of sin are death. The Lord is too righteous and holy for sin to even be in his presence. He's too pure for that. And so what happens when God gets angry? What happens when people sin day after day and mock him? What happens when people forget that the Bible says in Exodus 34, verse 14, "For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God"? What strikes me about the children of Israel is that they were set free. They were led, cared for, and blessed by the Lord, but yet still found a reason to complain. Their hearts were ungrateful, and they sinned with their unthankful attitudes as they murmured and complained. Now the Bible reads in Numbers chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, "And the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down." The decision to overlook the goodness of God led to an outpouring of his wrath. So you see, God is loving, but he is not to be mocked. He is patient, but he is not weak. So we should not provoke him to anger. You can't deceive him or think that you can pull a fast one on him. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient and all-knowing.
You see, there is a lie that the devil tells us, which I believe to be the biggest and the most dangerous lie that many people fall for. And the lie he tells you is, you've got time. You have got time. And here's how the lie is dressed up. You've got time to repent, so keep sinning. You can get right with God later. You've got time to keep living however you want. You don't have to worry about God and turning your life around just yet. Do it tomorrow. You've got time. This is a lie that is so easy to believe because it's comfortable. It lures us into a false sense of security to think that we can have our cake and eat it too. It's a lie that many fall for because it doesn't require any action on our part. It doesn't require us to change. It doesn't require us to crucify the flesh, but it does allow us to keep living life on our own terms without ever pausing to evaluate where we're headed. It's a lie that tells us that we're free to chase money, to chase power and relationships, or anything we think will fulfill us. But the reality is that at any given moment, we are 1 second away from heaven or hell.
We need to always be mindful that what we do today, what we do while we're here, still alive and breathing, will affect the unseen world for us. Matthew 6, verse 33 puts it this way, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We're being told to choose Jesus Christ in a world that is rejecting him. We're being called to live a righteous life in a hostile world.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.